The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Without a doubt, the cycle of life affects everyone. We're born, we live our lives, and there is death. And we understand that, and so this cycle affects every person who has ever lived. And people all through the ages have looked for a way to live in a vibrant state of happiness and health. And as a result of that, they have searched for what we would call the proverbial fountain of youth, so that they would be able to live forever in human form. Aging adults each year spend billions of dollars to try to stay young, or to turn back the clock, or to cheat death in some way. About 500 years ago or so, a Spanish explorer by the name of Ponce de Leon traveled from Europe to the New World, the area that we refer to as the Americas. Apparently, he spent a lot of time in the areas that we would call the tropical areas. And while he would travel into these various places searching for gold, he heard from the natives of the Caribbean a fascinating story, an extraordinary tale of a legendary fountain of water on a great island which had healing powers, and as a result of drinking from those powers, it would give you the power to sustain your life forever. Ponce de Leon, of course, never did find that fountain of youth. But he did discover the great island, or at least he thought it was an island at the time. And he called it, by interpretation, Flowery Easter. And he found this in April of 1513. We call it Florida. What's really interesting about this legend is that if Ponce de Leon had actually lived and was alive today, you and I could verify to him that there truly is a fountain of life, that it does really exist. No, it's not Perrier. It's not club soda. It's not Coca-Cola. It's not any of those things. It's not even Old Faithful, a famous geyser that is in Yellowstone National Park. But it does exist. And it is available now. God tells us about this in several places. The place that I want us to start is in the book of Jeremiah. So if you would go with me to the book of Jeremiah, God is speaking here about his people, Israel. And so let's go to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out broken cisterns that can hold no water. And so it's pretty plain. It says, God doing the speaking, these are God's words. He says, they have forsaken me. And then is inferred is, I am the fountain of waters. I am the fountain of living waters. So, yeah, it does exist. It does exist. Today, as we make final preparations for the Feast of Weeks or Feast of Pentecost, the counting, if we want to call it that and look at it in that way, I'd like for us to see some things today about this fountain of living waters. I'd like for us to look at it through the Scriptures. I want to see several different passages, just reading those to start with before we make other information, as we look at other information about it. I want to start in Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, most of us should understand that Zechariah 14 is talking about the time of the return of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 8, Zechariah 14 and verse 8. For as it is in that day, meaning that the day of the return of Jesus Christ, that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, in summer and in winter shall it be. So it is that time of the coming of Messiah. And he says, there's this time. At that time, there's going to be these waters, these living waters. And now let's go to the New Testament and go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, starting in verse 38. John chapter 7 and verse 38. He that believes on me, Jesus Christ here doing the speaking. Of course, this is the account of where he is referring to these living waters. He's going to speak of them. In that sense, we're going to see this. He that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So here we see that Jesus Christ is speaking about the time of these living waters in connection with the Spirit of God. And so we're seeing a little bit more about this living waters or this fountain of life. And now let's go to Joel chapter 3, Joel chapter 3 and verse 18. Joel chapter 3 and verse 18. Like I said, we're going to read several passages in a row here and then make some comments and then go from there. In Joel chapter 3 and verse 18. And it shall come to pass in that day, again, he is talking about the time of the end. He's talking about the time at the time of the return of Jesus Christ to the earth, that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Siddim. And now go to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. I'm going to read this from the New International Version, not because it's a lot of different, but I think it just states it in a good way. Revelation 22 and verse 1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So this is talking about the same thing that we saw back in Joel chapter 3. This is going to happen. This is the time of when it's going to happen. And we see this. It's a prophetic vision that John is seeing. So I think that what we see is there really is a real fountain of living waters. So at this time, what I'd like for us to do is I think I'd like for us to see some things about this fountain and what it refers to. Now, we've already, in the few verses we've read, we've already seen some of those things, and I like to focus on it and kind of building on a point and going to some scriptures and going to another point and building on the scriptures and kind of do it in that way. And I think it makes it interesting, at least it's interesting for me in this way. But one of the things is that we've already seen, and that is these waters are referring to God's Holy Spirit. Now, most fountains that we can find in the public places today, they try to keep them on and run them continuously, 24 hours a day, being fed by what seems to be a perpetual supply of water. And if you've ever been in a place, you know, you pretty much have to live in a larger area to really see some of these fountains like that. And we've had the blessing of being able to, or curse, however you look at it, you know, of living in some very major cities in this country. And we've seen some of these fountains in various places where they run constantly, all the time, 24 hours, every day. But what we also find out is that during times of drought, public fountains are usually some of the first things that where the water supply is turned off. And that's interesting, because this is not so with the fountain of living waters. It isn't cut off. It is perpetual. It is never ending. And so you go to some of these big places and you can see these fountains that flow and flow and flow, and they're always open and they're always there and they're always flowing. Yet whenever a drought comes along, they cut the water supply off. But as I said, what we see with God's fountain of life, we see that's not the case. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58 and verse 11. Isaiah 58 and verse 11. And the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfies your soul in drought. It's going to always be perpetual. It's always going to be there. It's never going to end. And he says, and even in times of drought, he's going to satisfy us and make fat our bones. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters never fail or never end. Not like public fountains in time of drought. This fountain of water never stops. There is no end to it. And so a second thing that we see about this fountain of life is that it is perpetual, never ending. Never ending. And it's never going to fail. We also know that in times of drought, if you have a well, a water well in your yard, if you have that kind of a well, and if it runs dry, you're going to get very thirsty. And I think we should understand that. I think we can all see that. So with that in mind, let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Here is Jesus Christ at the well talking with the Samaritan woman. So let's go to John chapter 4 and begin in verse 10. John 4 and verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto you, if you know the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living waters. Verse 11, and the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then do you have this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and the children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whoso drinks of this water, meaning who drinks of this water of this well, shall thirst again. In other words, you go and you drink. What's going to happen? Enough time passes, you're going to get thirsty again. And this is what he's saying. If you go to this well and you drink, you're going to get thirsty again. Verse 14, but whosoever drinks of the water of the living waters, this is what he's referring to, he drinks of the water that I shall give unto him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. It is perpetual, and it is never, never ending. Go with me to Psalm 23. Most of us probably know we refer to it as the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. I'm just going to read the first two verses. You can read it all, and it will certainly fit in this context, but the first two verses is where I want to focus on. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? I mean, just think about the term. The Lord is my shepherd. What is a shepherd? He's the guy that goes out there and takes care of his herd, whatever the herd is, whether it be cattle or whether it be sheep or whatever it is. The shepherd is a guy who tends to them. Now, if you've never had an opportunity to raise, you know, to be responsible for making sure that cattle or sheep are taken care of, then you may not understand that you have to have them water to drink every day, because they will go down very, very quickly, and that is the case. Whereas we can go, I don't recommend fasting, you know, 3 or 4 days and all of that. They say it could really affect your health. Well, we live at the end of 6,000 years of degeneracy. It probably is really going to take us down to really do a lot of fasting over a long period of time, you know, in that sense. But, you know, we can still do that. Cattle and sheep, they have almost an immediate effect upon them. So a shepherd is a guy who has to be there ready to take care of them for whatever their need is, to place them in a place where they can eat and make sure that there is water. And another thing that you have to have most of the time, especially this is true for sheep, is the water really shouldn't be stagnant. It should be running water for them. Cal, they're not exactly the same. They do better in that sense, but it doesn't seem to have as the effect upon them. And so when we read this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm going to have no lacking, is what he's saying. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. In other words, he takes care of all of my needs. He gives me fresh, tender, green pastures. This is what he's saying, lush. He feeds me in a very productive way, in a very awesome way, in a very good way. He leads me beside the still waters. The word is probably better, quiet waters, or maybe even better, it is restful waters. And by extension, it would mean flowing. Therefore, they're living. He's going to take care of me and put me in green pastures, lush green pastures, and he's going to give me refreshing water or flowing water or living waters. And that's what he does. And of course, Jesus Christ is our shepherd who does this for us. And so it's a real interesting analogy to take in, you know, to look at this in this context of water. The Amplified Bible, verse 2, it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside the still and restful waters, meaning refreshing or living waters. The water of a fountain in a public place I'm referring to, or if you have a fountain bubbling in your backyard, this could be a very refreshing experience to have one. It's in some ways, it's even considered to be somewhat healing if a person has various types of diseases, to be able to look at a fountain over a period of time and a green sky, with looking at it through the greenery of the trees and looking through a blue sky through the greenery, looking at a fountain all at the same time. It's very healing, considered to be very healing, very therapeutic. I mean, they know this. And so it's very rewarding. So it's very refreshing. It renews one's strength. And if you just go ahead and just take a look at one on a real hot summer day, it's just very refreshing. Have you ever had an opportunity to be in a whirlpool, in a whirlpool bath? Maybe you were there because you had some type of energy. It's refreshing. Just running waters like that are very, very refreshing. It strengthens you, and that's what even just waters in a fountain will do. That's what I'm focusing on. And what we need to know is that the waters of the living waters, this fountain of living waters, also gives power to the faint. That's what it says. It gives power. If we're down, it gives us what we need to not faint, but to be up, to refresh us, as we just saw in Psalm 23. That's what it's saying. This is what it's refreshing water. This is what it's talking about. But with that in mind, go with me to the book of Isaiah 40, Isaiah chapter 40, and let's see this very clearly, that this is what this is talking about. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, Isaiah 40 and verse 29, he gives power to the faint. We know God does that. He gives us strength. He refreshes us. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. That's what he does. We already read from the very beginning that God is talking. The being that we refer to as Jesus Christ is doing that talking. And he says, they've forsaken me. I am the fountain of living waters. And so we understand that God gives to us, even though we have no might, he increases our strength. This is what he's talking about. Now go to verse 31. Verse 31. But that they wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Because this fountain of living waters is what refreshes us. It is what strengthens us. God is the one who does that. God does that. Before we move to the next point, I want you to go with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 in verse 5. Psalm 103 in verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And where does that renewing come from? the fountain of living waters. It comes from God. So a third point that I want us to look at, obviously, then as we conclude what we're looking at, is that it is refreshing, it is renewing, and it gives us strength. So let's move on. I think without a doubt, most every one of us could certainly attest to the fact that we live in a very fast-paced society and where we find ourselves today. Probably a lot of us would like it to be a little bit different, or maybe a whole lot different. But it's what we find. This is where we find ourselves. We live today in a very fast society. And without a doubt, the gurgling sound of waters from a fountain can be very, very comforting. Have you ever gone to sleep with the recorded sounds of water? That's sleep. That's so awesome. That is just absolutely awesome. And then as you're going to sleep, if you think about it, that is symbolic of the flowing waters representing God. It even gives you more peace of mind and comforting if you think about it in that way. At least the way I look at it, and I think it's just awesome to do so because it is so refreshing and it renews us and it does give us strength. And we also know that the fountain of living waters is the fountain of all comfort, as it says, which comforts us in all our trials. Let's go there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're starting verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in all trouble by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. And so we move right into our next point, which is point number 4, and that is, it is comforting. It is comforting, this fountain of living waters. And as we find ourselves in this 21st century, I think we also recognize, you probably most have seen it, if you've not experienced it firsthand, you maybe have seen it in TV or in reading about it or in movies or whatever, that man has the capability to build fountains that literally explode water 50, 100 feet into the air. And that is just an awesome power. And it is just amazing to see that. I'm not talking about going to Old Faithful, this geyser that's there. I've had opportunity to do that. And this thing, you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then water just erupts out of the ground, shooting up. I'm talking about how man has been able to duplicate that as well. That he can cause these, you know, from mighty motors, that he's been able to generate the power that comes from water just exploding. I don't have any other way of stating it, but that's what it just does. It just explodes in an upward surge. These kinds of fountains absolutely, to me, exemplify great power being released. Power plants. There are some that are done by steam. There are some that are done by all kinds of things. Coal is various things. But some are generated by flowing water. Flowing waters can generate electricity that sends out to hundreds or thousands or 10,000s of houses. It's very, very powerful. Flowing water or living waters is very, very powerful when you see it in that way. And we certainly should know that the fountain of living waters is the source of all power. It is the source, not a source. It is the source of all power. Point number 5, therefore, is it is the source of all power. Go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 12. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 12, both riches and honor come of you, and you reign over all, and in your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. That's the source of all power. So as we have seen, the waters of this fountain of living waters, it is the very Spirit of God. We read it earlier, but I want to read it again in this context and this place in the sermon. It's back in John chapter 7 and verse 38 and 39. Let's go there again and read it here. John 7, 38. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But he spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. We're at that time of the year where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came. We also know that man was created by this same Spirit of God. So let's go to Psalm 104. Psalm 104 and verse 30. Psalm 104 and verse 30. You send forth your Spirit. They are created. And then he goes on and he says, and you renew the face of the earth. By the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. We were created. We also understand and can see that the whole universe, however big that is, to use the word the whole universe for all of that that is out there, however big, however expansive it is, whatever it is, and however big and however far it goes, came into being by the same Spirit. Let's go to Job chapter 26 and verse 13. Job 26 and verse 13, and we see this. By your Spirit he has garnished the heavens. His hand has formed the crooked serpent, implying everything. Everything. But he garnished the heavens. By the same Spirit that he created man, he also created all the entirety of the universe, everything, by the awesome power of God, through this Holy Spirit of God. So I think without a doubt, we can certainly see there is no small accomplishment, no small thing that we are looking at when we think about it, when we talk about this fountain of living waters. So let me rehearse for you very quickly, restating these five different points about the fountain of living waters. Number one is, it is referring to God's Holy Spirit. Number two, it is perpetual, never ending. Number three, it is refreshing, it renews strength. Number four, it is comforting. And number five, it is the source of all power. So here is a fountain far more spectacular and far more versatile in its assets than anything in which Ponce de Leon could have ever imagined or conceived of. He would have never, whatever the legend was, however big they told him it was, however awe-inspiring it was, he would have never really conceived of this, of how awesome this living waters of God really, really is. But having said that, I want you to imagine with me for a moment. Imagine that for a moment that old Juan had discovered the legendary Fountain of Youth. Imagine that in his curiosity that he had come to find out that through bathing in its waters three times a day that he actually was feeling more youthful, more energetic, and it did extend his life. So just imagine with me just for a moment. What do you think he would have done? What do you think he would have done? I imagine you think would imagine the same time that I do. That I don't think that he would have minded at all putting forth the effort to undress and bathe three times in a day, 7 days a week, continually, if it meant he would live forever. Yet, how much easier by comparison it is for us. For us to come before the throne of God on our knees, and like David did in heartfelt prayer three times a day, and ask for it. Go with me to Revelation chapter 21, Revelation 21. And verse 6, Revelation 21 and verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them that is athirst of the fountains of water of life freely. And now let's go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirst, come you to the waters. And he that has no money, come you. In other words, come anyway. Come, buy, eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. But if any are thirsty, let him come unto the waters, and I will give to you freely. How awesome is it to recognize and to imagine, as you did, to put yourself in the place of old Juan, who was ailing, who was sickly, and heard about this waters. It's imaginary, but what if he had found it? What if it was real and he had found it? What do you think he would have done? Whatever it took. And yet for us, we have to simply ask. And we've already seen how much more powerful it is, how much more awesome this water of God's fountain it really is. Matthew chapter 7, we know this. We're going to go there. We're going to read a couple of the verses, then we're going to go to the parallel account of this. But in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, this is where it says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Now you go all the way down to verse 11. I'm going to go down to verse 11. You can read all of those verses. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" And that's a good translation. Let's go to Luke, where we have the parallel account. This is why we need more than one gospel account. That's why we have it. It's so we can see different aspects of what the story is. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 9, we begin. "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given, seek and it shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and he that knocks it shall be opened. And then if your son does this and your son does the other thing," put down 9 through 13, and you can read it later. Verse 13, and we read, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children," we know this is the same account, right? "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit," Matthew said good things, "shall give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him." John 4, verse 10. John 4 and verse 10. "Jesus answered and said unto her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would ask him and he would give you living waters." Ask him. As the waters of Ponce de Leon's mythical fountain of youth were to have within them the power to perpetuate life, the water, meaning here the Spirit of God of the fountain of life, has within it the power to perpetuate our lives forever. Everlasting life, eternal life. And we merely ask for this water and then use it. That in itself is simply incredible knowledge. Just knowing this. Talking about discovery. Ponce de Leon's health was failing in 1513, and this is probably made it a very big motivation on his behalf, on his part, to search for the fountain of youth, really the fountain of life. How much do you think that he would have paid to have simply been able to have bathed in it once? I mean, just think about that. What do you think he would have been willing to have paid to have bathed in it once? Because this fountain was to have healing powers. With what intensity do you think that he would have sought for the waters that would have restored his health? I think these are questions that we need to ask ourselves when we or when others are sick or injured or afflicted. Go with me to Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. We'll read just the A part, the first part of that verse. Jeremiah 30 and verse 17, "For I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, saith the Lord." You see, we have access to the healing waters of the fountain of life, which are given freely to those who ask and obey. Healing powers. That's what he says. That's what we're seeing. God tells us, "I am the Lord that heals you. I have the source. I am the source. And I have these living waters." This is all, this is it. It does tie into this. So yeah, without a doubt, the age of discovery to me, hopefully for you, is an exciting time to read about. And the thing is, we actually can learn some important lessons from looking into that time period. Because there are many things that happen, and there are other lessons about this time known as the age of discovery. One, Ponce de Leon discovered many new lands in his lifetime, and he had many, many adventures that probably brought about to him some great excitement, I would imagine. He is credited as having discovered Puerto Rico, the Yucatan, many, if not most, of the Caribbean islands, and of course, the island of Florida. That was really not an island, but at the time he thought it was. But having said all of that, and having had all of this excitement about finding and discovering, as it were, as is credited as new lands, the discovery that he would have liked most to have made was probably that of the real fountain of life. But you see, there was a problem. That was a problem because he made two big mistakes, which resulted in his failure to find the fountain of life. The two mistakes were, number one, he didn't search in the right place. Psalm 36 in verse 9, Psalm 36 in verse 9, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light shall we see light." That's where the truth is. That's where these things really are, is going to the right source of the fountain of life. For you are, for with you is the fountain of life. Because you see, God is the source, because there is no other source. And the second mistake was, he didn't fear God. Proverbs 14 and verse 27. Proverbs 14 and verse 27. "For with the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death." He wanted to be healed because he was sickly, this is the place. You got to start by looking in the right place, the source. And when you obtain it, then you also have to have the fear of the Lord and all that that is, knowing who this being is and giving him all the respect and honor and glory and praise and thanksgiving and honor and all of these things that are belong to him. That's where you're coming in contact with the fountain of life. And that's when you are snapped away from death. Because the end result of that is eternal life. So, brethren, I think that we can see that these mistakes remain as examples for which we are to learn if we want to find and hold on to the fountain of life, the real fountain of life. Because, you see, brethren, we have it available to us. So what I ask each one of us is that let's drink from it freely and let's use it, giving God the praise, the honor, and the glory. And the Aaronic blessing, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are so blessed.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.